Good afternoon. Lord says, speak truth. Wow. Noon. Cool. Yeah, so here we're just going to get after it here real quick because we got shields and spears to pick up this morning. You don't know what I'm talking about? Last week, I began a message and I was going to share about, I felt like the four things that the Lord was asking us to pick up for the next season, and it was a few weeks ago. I was sitting in my office and I heard him say, you're going to go forward and the people are going to go forward with sword and shield and spear and sickle. And I just want to say, when the Lord speaks something like that, he's not a God of metaphors. He speaks through metaphors sometimes, but there's a reality in it of what we pick up will determine how we live in the next season of life. But we pick up and say, no, wait, this is who I am. This is who I'm called to be. This is the very things I'm carrying in the kingdom. What I carry will determine how successful I am in the next season. And we're going to talk about faith, but I believe this, that faith without the mixture of it in everything we're doing just becomes an idol. Yeah, because we can have faith in faith, but Mark 10 clearly tells us to have faith in God, not in our own faith. And I believe he's telling us right now, listen, I have sword and shield and spear and sickle that I need you to pick up. And I remember I said this last week, but I want to say again, he's not looking for you to be one dimensional in this next season. In Corinthians, it tells us, he says, you know, I became all things to all men. And then I love what it says in the message. It says, I took on all forms of servanthood that we might win some. And he said, I'm looking for a people who will pick up and be diverse and be multidimensional and pick up and say, wait a minute, it's not time for me to go guns blazing with my sword right now. It's sickle time. It's time to harvest. And then the next time you might walk in and think, I've got my sickle. And the Lord says, now I need you to use your spear of authority. And I feel like the Lord is so clearly saying this because he needs the people to not do the old thing. He needs the people to understand that I don't need you to be good at what you were at the last season. I need you to take that and add to. In 2 Corinthians, it says, in 2 Peter, it says, add to your faith goodness. Add to goodness knowledge. Add to knowledge, and it ends up add to it a love. And it goes down this list, and this is an adding to. So how many of you are ready to pick up more than you think you can carry? If the Lord said pick up sword and shield and spear and sickle, that means that in the supernatural you can hold more than you think. Because I don't know about y'all, but I count two hands. And he's saying, no, I have something that's supernatural for you to carry. And so last week we talked about the sword, and we talked about how the Lord puts the word of the Lord in us, how it purifies us, how it determines the level of our heart, and how it's supposed to be frozen in our hand. And there's places where you say, no, this is my ground. But it also comes, he said, I need you to pick up sword and shield and spear and sickle. And so there's an interesting verse in 2 Corinthians 6. It says this, it says, I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to use my Bible, sorry. That iPad is not feeling it right now. So, sorry. It says, in the truthfulness in speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness, I want you to understand what God is asking us to pick up are kingdom righteous weapons. They're not natural, and they're not made to use against each other. I just want to remind you that the word of the Lord is not to be used against each other. It says, but they're weapons of righteousness in the right and left hand. There's a place of understanding that God has called us to pick up multiple things. And in one verse, it talks about the sword of the Spirit and the shield. And I just want to tell you that we're to pick up the shield of God. And obviously we know that in Ephesians, it talks about the shield, right? Ephesians 6. We read this last week. I'm going to read it again though. It says, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Oh wait, I jumped down a verse. It says, in addition to all of this, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, it says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I want you to understand that faith is not an idea. It is a holding on of a supernatural belief that God has put in you through revelation. It is a holding on of supernatural belief, a belief that God says, hey, this is who you're going to be and this is what you're going to do. And then nothing matches. And you hold on to that place and say, wait a minute, this is faith. I believe the revelation that God has given me. And it says then, as we take on that shield, it extinguishes the arrows of the enemy. What is that? I mean, first of all, I think the simple one is lies, right? Just simple, because when it comes to faith, and it's our belief system, and it's what, and faith comes by hearing, so what we hear will determine our faith level. And He's given us a shield to say, I'm going to block the things that the enemy comes and says against you. How many of you have ever had the enemy share with you the opposite of what you're believing for? Why? Because he's wanting to build another faith system in you, and it's what he's saying. And God says, I'm going to give you... Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm glad it's not just a sword trying to block arrows. I know it looks cool in a movie when they can do it, but when there's a lot of them, you got to have a shield. And God has given us a shield. He says it's faith. And it is blocking. I love what it says too. It's extinguishing the fires. So many people live in the fire of what the enemy is doing because they're not taking up the shield of faith. And they're like, man, it's so hard. Everything is so hard. And I'm going to tell you, as you equip yourself with the shield of faith, it will literally begin to put out the fires of the enemy. And so we have to understand that shield and faith in the Scripture, they're synonymous. They're equal too, because that's what it says in Ephesians. I want to give you three quick things, and I'm just going to quote them. That happens by faith. It says in Acts 15:9 that faith purifies our hearts. What's that mean? It filters out everything the world is trying to speak to you and put in your belief system. It literally begins to purify. And it's interesting that you're about to see that faith is also equal to gold. And if we know this, that gold is purified by heat. And then they take the dross off, and in the Scripture it says the word of the Lord is like pure gold, purified seven times. And what begins to happen is the word of the Lord and the faith that comes with it begins to purify our heart. I don't have a lot of time to go into that, so I'm going to move on. The second thing is in Romans 1:17, it says it reveals the righteousness of God in our lives. You'll never believe you're righteous without the shield of faith. And if you don't believe you're righteous, you immediately open the door to the enemy to tell you a different identity. If you believe you gain or earn or your righteousness, I'm telling you, the enemy has already got an open door to begin to put works and an identity of a worker instead of a son or a daughter on you. And I've just found this, God didn't come for workers. Have you noticed that? Your most intimate moment, He never says, hey, worker, I love you. Why? Because He came for sons and daughters. And He's like, I have to begin to show you that you're righteous and your righteousness is because of the work of Jesus. We've already shared about all that today with communion. The third thing that happens is that it actually moves us into obedience. Romans 16:26 says this. It says that we're believing all these things and by faith. We're believing, there it is, that the Gentiles might come to obedience that comes from faith. Now, in this context, they're believing for salvation. But I believe this, that the minute we take up the shield of faith, it begins to move us into an obedience with God. Because remember, our faith is in God, and what you are believing in and focusing on, you begin to become like. You know, people that tell me, they're like, well, I'm just trying to obey God, and it's not working. I know it's because their belief system is off. They believe that they have to work to get to the place to even understand who God is. And God's saying, I'm revealing myself to you so you can be free. And we have to understand that. But the scripture I really want to major on right now in about faith is in Galatians 5:6. Can you just throw that up there for me? It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. A lot of people, I believe this, they have a hard time understanding what the overflow of faith is. And a lot of people think it's like miracles and things like that, but it's actually love. Because all of the other things of the kingdom flow out of love. Everything of overflow, all miracles, all kindness, all goodness, all the works of God are all flowing out of love. And that's why in even 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to quote a marriage scripture that the greatest of all these is love. Why? Because the expression of faith will eventually be love for you. And as you take up the sword, I mean the shield, it's supposed to look like love. It's guarding you. It's protecting you so that you can find the place of love with God. And we have to understand that it's so powerful that if we're not taking up the shield, we won't get into the love of God, and then we will never overflow the love of God. And I know it's really basic, but if we don't understand that, I'm just telling you, we'll see the shield as a shiny object. And I'm going to read you a verse here because I really feel like this is where I'm supposed to go with the shield. In again, it in 1 Peter, it talks about how the faith is also gold. So in Ephesians, it talks about faith as like a shield. And Peter, it talks about faith as gold. But it's interesting that Solomon and 1 Kings made gold shields. He made these gold shields. And what would happen is when he was coming into the temple, all the guards would come out and line the place because the king was going into the presence of God. Now the cool thing about our covenant is the king is the presence of God. And it's lined with faith to get you there. And there's this amazing scripture. Can you throw that 1 Kings passage up there for me? 1 Kings 14. It says, in the fifth year of Rehoboam, move on, next one. It says that he says he carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal place. He took everything, including all the gold shields Solomon had made. Next. So King Rehoboam had bronze shields to replace them and assign them to these commanders. And I was reading this because I was reading about shields and all that, and it struck me that they had a devalue of faith in the land. It struck me because if you begin to look into the scripture, the bronze was a substitute for gold. And there was a crazy devalue, and rumor has it, if you look at it historically, it says they would shine up the bronze to make it look like gold. They would shine it up because they didn't want everyone to know that the temple had been robbed of its glory. And they would shine these bronze shields and they would put them up, and when the king would walk in, they would all think, oh look, gold shields. And they would rush them back into the treasury. Why? Because they would tarnish. And I just began to ponder that with the Lord, and I began to think, man, how much would the enemy love to steal your shield and have you pick up something that's less? Have you pick up something that looks good but doesn't have the same glory as what you're called to? Like singing instead of worship. You look like you're worshiping. It's like a bronze shield, but the glory is in the worship that's coming out of you. Like reading the Bible without revelation. Whoa. See, because we all got taught to read. But one day I realized reading without revelation is not good. Because you'll do it in yourself and you'll mess yourself up. Because you think you know the Word of the Lord, but the Word of the Lord is alive and active. It's made to go with revelation. Or like doing ministry without love. Well, look, I prayed for these people and they got healed, and God said they're clanging a cymbal. Why? Because it's a bronze shield. It looks holy, but God's saying, I know I have gold shields for you all to carry, and they're full of glory. And by the way, they introduce you into the kingdom, into the temple. They take you into the temple. And I believe this, that God, the enemy, the goal of the enemy is to steal our faith and have us replace it with lesser things. See, it never gets fun right here because like everybody's pondering, I wonder if I'm doing that. Just lay down what you're carrying and pick up a new gold shield. So I choose to take on faith. I choose to take on what God is doing. And I believe this with everything in me, that the Father is showing us that in this place, you will pick up something that's greater than what the world and what the enemy is offering. It's inferior to the kingdom. Okay, so I did shields real quick because I want to talk about the spear for a minute. This one has less definition in the scripture. The spear. It's a weapon. It's a long-range weapon. But it's a weapon of authority. If you really begin to look at the scripture, a spear is a staff that's weaponized. Yes? And a staff is the signet of authority in the Old Testament. But it's interesting, it says when Goliath came out, it tells the size of his spear. When Saul went to kill David, it was a misuse of authority as he threw his spear towards David. We have to understand that when God says pick up the spear, He's literally saying, I need you to pick up the authority that I have for you. Now I'm going to say something that is so, everything predicates off this with authority. The more you carry the mission, the more authority you have. You can't just one day just say, I have all this authority. You've been given it, but how you steward it will be determined how much it affects your environment. And we have to understand that because God is saying, pick up the spear. I need you to pick up the authority that you have as a saint. The authority you have in your family. Maybe the authority you have in your workplace. The authority you have in your generation. We rarely talk about that, but you've been given an authority. If you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God in this generation, you've been given authority. How much you embrace that will determine how much you affect. Because you can know it all day, but because there's a place of learning how to steward the authority of God. Last week I talked about binding and loosing. And we talked about how it's a pure authority matter in the kingdom, right? Everybody understand that? The scripture says whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's an authority gift, right? But how many of you have done that and it not worked? How many of you have done that and it not worked? Why? Because maybe we haven't embraced the mission to a degree that gives us an authority in that moment. So we go around and like binding the, I remember when I was a young man, I was at school at ACC and God was just wrecking me. And what that meant was He was saying, no more school for you, you gotta go to Bible school. Which was a pure wrestle for me. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the park downtown in Austin and all of a sudden I saw the principality over the city. Now if that freaks you out, I just said it's biblical. And I didn't even know what it was. I'd never even been around the people that talked about that. And I was like, huh, interesting. I remember I was like 17 years old, and I just said, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and it laughed at me. And I was like, wait a minute. I know the scripture, I bind you. I got a little more, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And it looked at me, and the enemy told me something that was revelation to me. He said, you don't have the authority yet. But he added a little word on the end there. That struck my attention. I say, yet. So I do have the authority. Exactly. You have the authority in you. But determining how you embrace. Because why? Because I had never been to Austin and thought about the principality. I had never thought I need to be warring in prayer against that. Nothing. I didn't have any revelation of it. I just tried to wield my authority. God didn't rebuke me. He just said, one day, when you figure it out, we're going to stand over cities. You're going to hold your spear and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I stand on the hill in San Marcos and I say, this is our city. This is our town. Why? Because now I've embraced the mission. At 17, I didn't even know what the mission was and I was not even embracing the little bit I knew. But what was God teaching me? You got to pick up the spear. And when you do, it will release authority. It's really interesting. There's a passage, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but in Numbers 25, there's a plague on Israel. Why? Because they're in sin. Radical, perverse sin. And I know that a lot of times, like we use words like shortcomings and downfalls. There was sin in the camp. And it wasn't working for God. He was like, hey, I told you not to marry the Midianites. I told you that they are not to be part of this plan and they will pervert you and cause you to worship other gods. And so they're in a big town hall meeting is the best way I know how to describe it. And it's a million people. I love the Israelites. They just got together. A million of them. I don't know how they told everybody what was happening. They didn't have microphones. And they're deliberating, and they're actually, Moses and Aaron are repenting before God for allowing it to happen. And it says the leader of the tribe of Simeon takes the leader of the Midianite's daughter and walks her across the front of a million people into a tent to say, I will do what I want, when I want, with who I want. That's pretty bold. And it says that Eleazar, son of Aaron, who had embraced the mission of being a priest before God, something rose up in him. And it says he took a spear and he went into that tent. And it stuck it through that man, into the woman, into the ground. And it says, and God stopped the plague. And God stopped the plague. What am I saying? When you embrace the mission and you embrace God's plan for purity and wholeness in the kingdom of God, when you embrace it and you're living for it, all of a sudden you're given authority to stop the plague. And I've got so much I could say right now about America. Listen, we got to embrace what God's plan is, then we'll have authority. No embracing that, no authority. We'll just be a loud gong, just dung, 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 and people will be like, look, they're not embracing it, so God's not giving them any authority. We have to be like Eleazar and give our lives to it. That's why I love it. It says in 2 Peter that we are a royal priesthood. He had taken that on and said, wait a minute, I'm carrying the very weight of getting to go into the presence of God. And when he saw, see, in the new covenant, we don't kill the people we reject the spirit of. See, most people have mistaken their authority and used it against people. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but of principalities and powers. And we have to understand that these weapons that God is asking us to pick up are to roar in the supernatural, and so that people can be free. Because in the new covenant, he says, hey, I'm going to stop the spirit that's affecting you so you can be free. See, we can't go around stabbing people with our authority. We can't go around stabbing people groups. It's their fault. And God says, that's a misuse of authority. It's really interesting. Y'all know the story of Saul and David, right? Saul's the king. God promises David, you're going to be the king. Now, in my math, God just says, Saul, you're done. David, you're in charge. But that's not how it worked. 20 years, Saul still ruled. And there's a moment where David's hiding in a cave. This is only God could do this, right? And Saul and his armies decide to camp right outside the cave. They were not good at looking for David. If you read the scripture, like, he's the worst at lost and found ever. Hide and seek. He's the worst! And they lay down, and it says this, and it has struck me. Abisha is with David. He has mighty men already with him. And they sneak into the camp, and Abisha sees, it says there's a spear stuck in the ground by the head of Saul. And Abisha says, with one stab, the kingdom is yours. With one swift motion. And Abisha, he was one bad dude. If you read about him, he kills a giant later on. And he takes the spear from the giant, kills him with his own spear. And it says, and David looks at him and says, no, that's not the authority we have right now. See, to pick up the spear doesn't mean you always use it. You know when to use it and who to use it against. And the church has been stabbing its own for generations. With its own authority. And God's saying, I need you to understand that. No, that's God's anointed. It's really interesting. He cuts a little piece of cloth off. This is actually a different time because Saul was really bad at hide and seek. And he's going to the restroom in a cave, and David cuts a little piece off because he could have killed him right there too. And Saul goes out. David holds up the cloth and says, I had you. And Saul kind of repents for a moment. But then David is grieved because he said, oh, I touched God's anointed. Now, we can get all weird and try to make the preachers the anointed. It's God's people. Who are the anointed? We're all the anointed. And God's saying, don't you touch that one with the authority I've given you. Don't you hurt that one. Your authority is for the principalities and powers. It's to stop the plagues on nations. It's to stop with the sin that's happening, not by condemning it, but recognizing the authority and saying, no more. The spear that God is giving us is an authority in this generation that if we will steward properly, they'll look back and say, what happened in that generation to turn the tide? It'll give us authority in our prayer. Isn't that right? It'll give us authority in our workplaces. It'll give us authority with the lost. Well, they'll see it and then be like, what is that thing you're carrying? And it's authority. Weaponized authority. I got so much more on that I could do. But I want to encourage you most of all, pick up the spear. Remember, Jesus said, all authority I've taken, and now I give it to you. So the question of, do I have a spear, is yes. The question is, do I have a shield? It's yes. The last thing he asked us to pick up was a sickle. In Revelations 14, 15, it says, it's an angel speaking to another angel. It says, take the sickle, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. When God begins to talk about the sickle, he's not saying just, it's time to do the program of outreach. He's saying, harvest is ripe. And what's cool is in every generation, harvest is ripe. I believe that with everything in me. Now I'm just going to say what I personally am believing for, which means that this church is personally believing for it because the leadership and everyone has taken hold of it. We're believing for a billion soul harvest. A billion, actually, to be real honest, I'm believing for more. Because I did the math and a billion souls is actually still only 20% of who's on earth right now. And I'm like, batting 200 even in baseball is not so good, right? I'm believing for something so where the church reaches down and picks up the sword and shield and spear and sickle, and all of a sudden they realize harvest is ripe. It's harvest time. Don't harvest with your sword. Don't harvest with your spear. That doesn't work. There's a moment where God shows you a ripe field and says, pick up the sickle. It's time. It's not that the sword won't do it. It just won't do it as well. So I'm just asking you today. So I'm gonna do things a little bit different. We're going to end right here. You know, it was a miracle. Know this. You got everything in a third. Last week we all stood and said we're going to take up the sword. And it was a powerful moment where everybody said, now we will be God's people with the word of the Lord. But I felt like this time, I felt like these are more specific things that the Lord might have been putting one thing on your heart. And if it's all of them, it's good. But there's something like, I haven't been carrying that one that was hitting you when I'm talking. So if you just felt like it's a renewed season for the shield of faith in your life, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Where faith is like, this is what God is. It's a gold shield. Maybe for some of you, your shield got stolen and you've been carrying a bronze shield and you're laying that down and saying, I'm picking up that gold shield again. Maybe for some of you, it's that spear. Like, I know I've got authority, but I haven't known exactly when, how to use it, where to throw it, what to do with it. And all of a sudden, you're realizing, wait a minute, it's time to pick up the spear of authority in my generation. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then some of you, when you hear me talk about the sickle, there's just something in you that burns and just says, that's me. It's sickle time. As for me, as for my inheritance, God, give me the loss. If it's burning in you like that, I want to tell you, you've probably got some gift of evangelism flowing in you. But some of you may be hearing it and saying, I haven't picked that up. And I've got neighbors and family members and friends that are ripe for harvest. And I haven't carried the sickle. Maybe you need to pick up that sickle today. Some of you just say, I don't know what I need to pick up. Not real sure. I just say yes. I've learned that I don't have to have everything figured out. My yes is most important. Especially when I don't have definition for everything. He's just like, do this. I'm like, okay. Maybe that's where you're at. And so I just want you to put your hands out because you can't pick anything up close-handed. I mean, you can try. It's no fun. And I want you to not visualize. I want you to ask the Lord to help you carry what you're believing for right now. Why? Because none of these work without the Holy Ghost. I want you to ask Him. You can do it even in your heart, but I want you to be specific. If you were feeling that thing about the spear, I just want you to see Him giving you that, saying, you're going to do this. You're going to affect a nation. You're going to affect a people. You're going to affect your children. You're going to affect your line. I want you to see Him giving you a gold shield. Some of you is just taking that bronze shield and saying, here's a gold one. You were made for my glory. Some of you, that sickle is just in your hand, like, give me the loss. Just stay like that. Because you'll inspire us all to take out our sickle when we're busy not using it. So we just bless what's in your hands. In Ecclesiastes, it says, whatever is in your hand, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. I just encourage you right now. Now as you see that God has handed you this, do it with all your might. Do it with all the might of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Give yourself to it. Give yourself to running with sword and shield and spear and sickle. So we just bless what's in your hands right now. I just declare that you are fruitful and powerful and blessed in the next season by what you're picking up. We just bless you now. We bless our time tonight as we carol in Redwood. We say we pick up the sickle tonight. But we take the spear right now and we say, that's our place. That's the kingdom's place. And enemy, you get out of there. You have no more, because that's the field of harvest there. We declare there's love pouring out of our ears tonight as we sing and knock on doors and hand people gifts and hug them if they want it and bless them and look in their eyes and say, Jesus loves you. We declare there's love, faith expressing itself in love tonight. We pray that everyone in here would just go out of here full of faith, more faith than they came in with today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, can I have altar teams come up to the front and be prepared to pray? If you need prayer for anything, we want to invite you to the front and the altar team will come pray for you. Pastors Tim and Elizabeth are going to be in the back, double doors there. I want to say we have a lot of people signed up for caroling, but we still need you because this is a big event and we would love for you to come. It's an excellent opportunity to use your sickle. Have a blessed day and...